It's showtime.
Hey, welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? My name is Jake Shadell. This is a podcast about reality television and friendship in which I ask my best friend, Thomas Powell, if he did indeed watch a certain reality show. Hey, Thomas, how are you doing?
Hey, Jake. Today? I'm good, man. How about you?
I'm doing well. I've been thinking a lot about Build-A-Bear recently, and that's just, like, filled me with joy.
Sure, you know. Sometimes you just got Build-A-Bear on the noodle.
You're telling me. Always thinking about Build-A-Bear on this noodle.
So what, anything in particular about Build-A-Bear that you were thinking about?
No, I just think it's a really fun concept. It's a really great idea. Well, because you go in, you got
I think it's bear eugenics. I'm actually against Build-A-Bear.
It's bear eugenics. Now that is a hot take. I think I would disagree. I think it fills little kids and their grandmas with joy. Also, is Build-A-Bear still a thing?
I have no idea. I hadn't considered that it might not be.
I mean, I remember it being a thing when we were kids.
I think it'll be
super popular.
I think it has to be a thing as long as malls exist.
Yeah.
Like, once malls go away, Build-A-Bear will no longer exist. But you would think that would have been something that the internet might have taken down. You know, that might have...
Yeah.
The idea of, like, a custom-made teddy bear is not quite as novel when you can just go on the internet to do it.
Yeah. But it's such a fun activity. It's like, it's one of those things where I'm, like, very curious, but not curious enough to actually look up.
Yeah, like, I'm not. Like, whatever, yeah. I'm gonna need to actually look into that.
I'm gonna assume Build-A-Bear Workshop still exists.
Yeah, it probably does.
And that's why I'm filled with joy today. And also
I too am pleased that Build-A-Bear still exists, at the very least, in the hearts and minds of all those who once patronized it.
Yeah. If Build-A-Bear Workshop has gone out of business, I think we would have heard about it, right?
Like, no, I like don't think so. Yeah, maybe there would have been a news story about it. I don't know.
Like, we heard so much about Dippin' Dots going bankrupt.
See, you say that, but I did not. I always kind of assumed that that was a doomed business model because it was such a novelty, but...
Well, so is building a bear.
Yeah, definitely. You know,
nature does that.
Fair point. Yeah, honestly, I'm most against it because it defies God.
Yeah. How dare... God smites them.
How dare you? They were too concerned about whether they could build a bear to ask whether they should.
God sitting up in heaven and St. Peter walks in like, hey, did you hear about what these humans are doing now? No, what are they doing? They're building bears now.
Could God build a bear so bad that it would go out of business?
Who's afraid of Build-A-Bear Workshop? We ain't afraid, y'all. So Build-A-Bear Workshop continues to fill me with joy 20 years later. But what also fills me with joy is the fact that we're watching a new show for this show. So my question for you today, Thomas, is did you watch the Challenge Vendettas last night?
I did.
You seem thrilled by that.
You know, I didn't hate it. I was expecting to really hate it, and it did just enough for me to not want to stop watching it.
Exactly. I would completely agree. This, I think, was probably the best premiere they've had in quite a few seasons. The premiere was called When Worlds Collide. It's a fine episode title, I think.
Yeah, it made me think of the Power Man 5000 song that's on the Tony Hawk 2 soundtrack. I'm not sure whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I wouldn't call it a bad thing. Yeah, so TJ presents this whole season as a sequel to Dirty 30, which was last season, obviously, which is like, okay, sure, fine. Only, like, half the cast this time was on that season. And also, this season's cast is smaller than last season's. But I guess?
Yeah, I mean, sure.
He then tells them that this season is called Vendettas. It's all about getting even. And Corey asks, what's a vendetta? And then everybody laughs at him, but doesn't tell him what a vendetta is.
Yeah, like, they laughed at it in a way that they were like, aw, man, what a joker. Pretending not to know what this is. But he, like, did not know what a vendetta was.
But later on in the episode, he does seem to know what a vendetta is. So I assume at some point somebody told him.
It's not that hard to pick up based on context clues, either.
I mean, yeah, but if Corey were on Survivor Beauty Brawn Brains, he would not be on the Brains team, I can tell you that much.
No, he wouldn't. He would be on the Brawn team.
Or the Beauty team, he's a cutie.
Sorry, just a sec, he'd be on the Brawn team!
Oh my god, okay.
Well, what is this season but a declaration that he is not finished with you yet?
Well, here's the thing I was thinking, actually, was like, oh man, this is the first week in several months that we don't base the episode around a wrestler. But you
too bad!
Oh no, I was upset because I was like, how are we going to bring in a wrestler into this episode? No, and I was thinking about everybody on the cast, I was like, none of them are affiliated with WWE at all. But we got there. Braun Strowman.
We did it.
Okay, wait. Well, next week, I think we're going to simulate a season. Do you want to do a Braun Beauty?
I want a season of actual Survivor people, but also Braun Strowman is on it.
Yeah, so my thinking is, we'll do Brains and Beauty Tribe. We'll all be, like, 12 previous Survivors, but then the Braun Tribe. Just be six Braun Strowman.
Yeah, it's just all Braun Strowman.
I can't wait for next week now.
Yeah, that's so that sounds great.
Okay, let's get through this week first, though. Leroy is hoping to win so he can go to barber school. Me too, Leroy. You've been doing this for long enough.
I hope he wins, and I think he said he was already going to barber school, but, you know, like, I want him to be able to go there and pay for it with his winnings.
Yeah, I assumed he meant he can win so he can pay for barber school. But also, you're going to win $500,000, and I know that school is expensive, but barber school can't be that expensive.
No, he would just have money left over.
Good for him. Maybe he can buy some scissors with that. And then TJ tells them that the first challenge starts immediately, which is exciting because this is the challenge. It's time to play the game.
Time to play the game!
So they're on Gibraltar, and they have to race to the peak of the Rock of Gibraltar, but halfway through they have to stop inside a cave and hold a box for 6 straight hours without sitting down. That's fun. And then whoever gets to the top first wins $25,000 immediately, I guess. And also the last place man and the last place woman are out immediately. So that's the stakes. It's pretty exciting, right?
Yeah, I thought so.
It's fun. It's a good challenge. I like mountains.
And yeah.
Islands, so.
Yeah, mountains are nice.
Yeah. Devin says that he got in the best shape of his life for this season, so hopefully that means he is a contender now.
I mean, that would be nice, but he just still kind of looks like Devin.
Yeah, I mean, you could kind of see a little more muscle definition, like, in his arms. I guess? But, yeah, it wasn't super noticeable. Hopefully he's
I mean, look, that's not how Devin...
stronger now.
Devin just needs to be good enough in, you know, the actual challenges for his, you know, like, that's obviously not his main thing.
His main strengths are, he's very smart, so he's good at politicking, and also he's incredibly lucky because every single time on his first season he pulled the white skull.
Yep, or whatever, yeah, or the thing, he's like, just gotta keep that up.
Just continue to be lucky. Every season he gets to the final based on luck alone. I'm so glad that they brought him back to...
I am too.
To, like, replace... Well, because they were eliminated... He and Cheyenne were eliminated, like, first elimination their first season. And and then, like, another Are You the One team just quit the next day, and so they just brought him back, and then they just coasted to the final, and I'm so happy about that. Because he's a good person to watch on this show, and that makes me happy. They start the race. The Rock of Gibraltar is nearly 1,400 feet high, so that's good. That's a good race. Joss from X on the Beach wins the first leg of the race, and then once everybody arrives in the cave, they pick up a box for 6 straight hours. The boxes look like military, I don't know, equipment, right? It wasn't just like a box, it looked like a real...
Yeah, I mean, it didn't look like it was just like a box they found. Like, it looked like...
Yeah. Hold this cardboard box for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no. Yeah, it was a box that probably had a little weight to it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think this leg, like, the standing for that long might have been what fucked that guy's back up. Not so much the running.
I think you're right. Yeah, Rogan was his name, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, that can't be good. I wonder if there were, like, rules against, like, crouching, because I didn't see anybody crouching or anything.
He probably had to stand straight up. Although, I don't know, if they didn't tell you, you couldn't. Maybe somebody should have.
Not put it in the episode also. Yeah. I mean, that was my first idea was you could just crouch.
I mean, that would also, if you were crouching for too long, that would hurt your knees a lot.
Yeah, and your ankles, I suppose. But then you stand. So, it's fine.
Yeah, if you could switch between the two positions, I guess it wouldn't be as bad.
I'm all about switching between two positions. High five.
Oh!
Hey. It's a... from sex.
sex.
You ever heard of this thing called a sex?
What Jake's trying to say is, how many of y'all like sex?
Raise your hand. Everybody listening, raise your hand right now if you like sex, and don't explain to the people around you what you're doing.
Yeah. Actually, if anyone asks, you refuse to tell them why you're doing it.
Why are you raising your hand? I can't. I just can't tell you.
I can't tell you.
But do suggest that they listen to this episode.
Yeah.
And rate and subscribe. 5 stars, please.
Yeah, you should, if they ask, you should say, wouldn't you like to know?
So everybody's just standing in two lines facing one another, so there's a lot of time to get to know each other. I thought this was a very clever way to get to know the cast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As opposed to, like, everybody racing to get into the best room in the house, like they do every season. It's like, hey, this is what this person's all about. This is what this person's all about. We just got a lot of time to chat. Marie and Kara are both really into Kyle from the Geordie Shore, which seems like a fucking trip of a show.
Yeah, it does. I mean, look, they keep referring to him as David Beckham.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a similar appeal, but just is, like, maybe a little less prissy David Beckham.
Yeah, if he cleaned up, cut his hair, shaved his beard, maybe... I think maybe just because he's, like, a hot British dude, that's why
I think that's really, it was, like, that was their frame of reference, was, like, who is a hot British guy?
I don't know why they didn't just call him Russell Brand. He's the hottest British dude I know.
Yep.
We also learned that Donald is single, which is important for some reason.
Well, I mean, we gotta know that he's ready to mingle.
It's very important that we know who Donald Bananas is fucking and wants to be fucking, because we love him so much. He's the king of the challenge.
No, if Johnny Bananas is not on screen, everyone should be asking, where is Johnny and is he fucking?
Is he not on screen because he's fucking? This is the first season that I have noticed people really turning on him. Like, the audience is not as in love with him as they were a few years ago.
It's amazing that it's taken this long, but, like, yeah, you're gonna get sick of somebody who's really abrasive that you've seen for that long.
He's been on screen at least once a week for the past year. Well, no, I guess he was eliminated. He gets eliminated every once in a while, but basically every week. Forever. Ugh. I hate him so much.
Yeah, he sucks.
And yet I continue to watch this show.
Yeah, even though they refuse to get rid of him.
Yeah, whatever. So once their time in the cave is up, they leave in the order that they arrived. And Zach really wants to win this race because he says 25 grand in Michigan means I don't have to work for about a year and a half. You live in Michigan, is that about right? Could you survive on $25,000 for a year and a half?
I mean, if I had it banked, yeah.
But you get no other money.
No, I probably could.
Yeah?
It might be a bit of a stretch for some of it, but, you know, I could survive for a year on that, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's... I mean, cost of living here in Chicago is a little higher than that. 25 grand gets you through a year if you're okay with starving.
Maybe he is, you don't know.
He looks like he eats.
Maybe
he's a pretty big dude.
Maybe he likes to starve. You don't know him.
That's true. So Joss wins the race. Congrats, the Brits. The British are coming. Remember that? Why didn't anybody say that in this episode?
Yeah, I'm ashamed. Pretty good bit. I'm ashamed that they didn't say that.
It's pretty funny. Because from history, remember that? Remember history?
Yeah, do you remember history?
So Rogan, who is also from X on the Beach, collapses because he injured his back a long time ago, and this race re-aggravated his injury. Johnny Bananas takes 18th place of 28.
Dang, he's slipping. Maybe that's why they're all suddenly hostile to him, because they smell blood in the water.
Yeah, maybe. I hope
they
so.
They smell blood versus water.
God damn it. If John Bananas, that's what I'm calling him now, John Bananas ends up on Survivor, I know that was our initial hashtag, but I'm going to be so upset. Unless he gets voted out first.
I mean, look, that's the ultimate.
you know
the worst. The worst thing that can happen sometimes is getting what you want, you know?
Yeah. What would actually be the best thing if he ended up on Survivor is if they do, like, a schoolyard pick to pick the tribes, but there are too many people on the beach, so the two people who aren't picked just go home without playing the game. If he were one of the two people that wasn't picked, that would be wonderful. I would love that so much.
Yeah, he's on Blood versus the next Blood versus Water, and nobody picks him or
Vince.
Vinny.
Yeah. That would be good. So Jonel takes 18th of 28, and Jemmy calls him overrated. Everybody loves Jemmy, and everybody hates Jonel. It's my two favorite sitcoms from the 2000s.
Yeah, good stuff. R.I.P. Peter Boyle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nicole Z took 4th overall, which was 1st for the women. You haven't seen a season with her on it yet, have you?
I don't think I have.
She's awesome. I love her so much. She's the female Corey, that's what people say.
Oh, okay. sounds good to me.
Her first season, she got into a sort of like a love triangle with Kara and Laurel. And Laurel did not even realize that she was bi before meeting Nicole. But they dated for a while after that. So that's good. The other Nicole, Nani's cousin, took last place and was eliminated. Which is fine because she's really boring.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I'm fine with it being the people being eliminated. Like, I felt bad for that guy for his slip disc being re-aggravated, but I also don't know anything about him, so I have no attachment to him. And then also, I don't care about Nicole at all.
I don't really care for her either. She's like fine if they need a body, like producers need to fill the cast. But yeah, I'm not gonna miss her at all. This was like with Rogan being eliminated. It's like that episode of The Office when they were like, "Oh no, somebody's getting fired," and then they just end up firing a dude who had never been on the show before. It's like, okay. So then they finally get into the house. Corey tells Joss that he better hope they can't steal money from each other because Hugh is coming for him now. Corey, that hit list, right? Yeah. There's like so many things where I'm like, oh, hey, this is like this, and this happened because of this, but you didn't watch any of the previous season.
Nope.
So, well, I was just going to say...
Well, no, I watched enough to remember that Corey had, like, the hit list.
Yeah, I don't think... I mean, I might be wrong about this, but I feel like Corey invented the term hit list, and now it's being used by everyone. It's like,
yeah,
for you guys, it's like, you know, nobody said layup before, like, 10 seasons ago or whatever. Now everybody is saying layup every season. And, you know, I just like that. I like that my dude is getting his shit into the vernacular of the show. I like that. Good for him. Okay. So Shane takes a room with strangers so he can figure out what they're talking about. It's a pretty good strategy. Corey and Nelson decide to take separate rooms for the same reason. Corey notices something strange on the wall and says that he should start taking notes. Oh, and then we get another scene with John Bananas.
Everybody's favorite.
Can't wait until he gets eliminated. John is super into Natalie from Big Brother, and he compliments her Spanish.
Oh, ugh, this whole thing was fucking awful.
And she says, yeah, it's my first language. So they're like promoting this banana Natalie showmance for this season, and it's super obnoxious, but I hope the whole thing is just Natalie, like, telling him to shut the fuck up, because it's pretty good. I'm so into John being shit on.
Yeah, that's always good.
That's all I want. Brittany from Are You the One and Brad Vibe. Brad has not done a challenge since Cutthroat, which was in 2010.
Damn, he's been gone for a while.
Yeah, the only people who still do the show regularly are, unsurprisingly, John and Kara, although Cutthroat was only her second season, so she was still pretty fresh at that point. John, however, had already been on for half a decade. And now he's... Oh, my God. Let's stop talking about him. Okay. Also, apparently, Alicia and Corey are a thing. Alicia is looking to Corey to guide her since he's considered a vet now. Brittany and Brad hook up, and the house discusses hooking up. And then Cam tells Corey, you are who you attract. And she says it like it's an insult. But I don't... Like, when you really look at Corey's track record, like, everybody he's hooked up with since being on this show is, like, really cool and good.
Yeah.
So, like, thanks for the compliment.
Yeah, he's doing fine.
Yeah.
Also, like, I love Cam, but also Cam has attracted Johnny Bananas, so...
When?
They had that scene together. It kind of seemed like he was hitting on her a little bit.
Oh, well, he's single now.
So yeah, he is ready to mingle. We know this.
His flirting style is bad. Right?
It's bad, like, yeah.
It is, just like him, abrasive and
yeah,
stupid.
He's just very, yeah, very obnoxious.
Like, he was like, Natalie was walking away from him in one scene, like walking out of the room that he was in. He was like, let me know if you need to borrow anything else, like a pair of lips. Like, are you my drunk uncle? What are you talking about? He sucks so much. Anyway, that's enough talk about that dude. The worst part is... I'm just going to keep ranting about this person I hate. I can't even, like, eat bananas anymore because I think of this idiot. I can't eat any fruit.
I'm sorry.
I'm bringing it back to bananas and then him.
I have scurvy and it's Johnny Bananas' fault.
It is. John Bananas gave me scurvy. And I'm mad about it. I'm gonna yell at him on Twitter for
I'm potassium deficient. It's his fault. I can't even eat banana flavored Laffy Taffys or
To be honest, I love bananas. I think they're a delicious fruit. I can't stand banana flavored candy though. No matter what, it always tastes bad.
Then you probably wouldn't have liked the original strain of bananas that eventually died out and got replaced by this one, because apparently they tasted more like that than they do like current bananas.
Wait, the original bananas?
Did you not know about this?
No, what are you talking about?
Bananas have been sort of like bioengineered, I guess? Like, there's, like, basically, they're people sort of purposely grow certain strains of banana, like,
right.
But the problem with that is that eventually they kind of die out. So there was like a more prevalent form of banana that like all of the banana flavored stuff is based off of, but I think they over engineered it and it ended up dying out and they had to replace it with a slightly less flavorful banana.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yes.
When was this?
I don't know, look it up.
Okay. Huh, I never knew. I assumed bananas had always been the same.
It's not something you think of, because I don't really think it's the case with other fruit, but...
I mean, yeah, but if you are, like, a farmer, that's what they're called, and you have fruit or whatever, vegetable or whatever, you have the ability to grow certain strains and certain variations.
Yeah, I mean, like, so we do that...
It's not surprising.
Yeah, we do that with apples, like, yeah. Honeycrisp apples and Pink Lady apples do not exist naturally. Like, they were created.
In a lab?
Yeah, it's like dog breeds.
Apples
like, dog breeds aren't natural.
Lab. They were put there by a dad who is a scientist. Remember the song?
No.
Peaches, right?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I do remember that song.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good song. Where were we? Speaking of bananas, Kara warns Natalie that John will get to her. And then later Marie tells Natalie not to trust Kara because she is a mean girl. And then Kara notices them talking and says that she is keeping an eye out for Marie. Boy, oh boy, I was not expecting a Marie-Kara rivalry, but hey, this is Rivals 4, Vendettas.
So you're saying you were not expecting them to have a vendetta?
Oh, what's that?
It said, so you're saying you weren't expecting them to have a vendetta.
What is that? What is that word you're saying?
Oh, ha ha ha. Jake.
Because I don't know what that is.
Anyway.
Outside the house, Victor, who was on Big Brother with Natalie, tells Joss that the secret to games like this is to listen more and talk less. Sure, yeah, definitely. This is not Big Brother, though, so shut the fuck up, Victor. Actually, he seems fine. I don't have an issue with him.
No, but that's kind of the Leroy playbook.
True, yeah. So, be friends with the person who never gets voted out for some reason. That's a great strategy. Back inside, Kyle and Marie make out a little bit in front of everybody. Cool.
Also, Marie was unbelievably drunk.
Well, here's why. Here's some... listened to a podcast about this because why not? Apparently, production told the cast once they got to the house that they weren't allowed to smoke. So, Marie decided to take a Xanax to calm her nerves.
Yep, okay, that makes sense.
And then continued to drink even more. Yeah, so that's fun concoction there. Devin talks to Victor about the game or something. I guess this is going to become an alliance or something. And then John gives a toast where he says something like, we've got Are You the One, and we've got X on the Beach, and we've got Geordie Shore, and we've got...
Oh, yeah, I stopped, like, halfway through this because I couldn't stand it.
Yeah, well, it was the end of the episode, so you didn't really miss anything.
Yeah.
But I don't think at any point he mentioned Road Rules, and he definitely did not mention Real World, which I don't know if he really didn't mention those, or they just cut that part out.
Or it was implied because they're always there.
Right, but my thinking is, maybe they didn't put that in there because
eventually they're going to have neither.
Yeah, exactly. Which, is fine. I think this show could be really fun if they bring in more people from other shows. But, yeah, it was an interesting edit, to say the least. I'm not upset, though. There's only one wildlife shot in this movie.
Alive!
While they were racing up the mountain, they ran into the Barbary macaque, which is the only wild monkey population on the whole European continent.
Oh, this was really funny, too.
Yeah, they're, like, cool, fun little animals. They mostly live in the upper area of the Rock of Gibraltar, but will occasionally go down in town and cause damage to personal property.
Yeah!
I love these little guys. In 1782, in a book about Gibraltar, Ignacio López de Ayala, I might be pronouncing that wrong, wrote about the monkeys: neither the incursions of Moor, the Spaniards, nor the English, nor cannon, nor bomb of either have been able to dislodge them. Also, at one point, there's a, like, legend is that as long as these monkeys are on this island, England will have control. And at one point in, like, the, I guess whenever Churchill was in charge of England, there were only, like, a handful of these monkeys left on the island, so they, like, repopulated the island with more monkeys.
Out of, like, the superstition that as long as the monkeys were there?
Yeah, if the monkeys disappear, then England loses control of this island.
I wish that stupid Churchill biopic was just about that.
Well, wouldn't that be fun?
It'd be way better.
They are used to humans, because it's a tourist attraction, this island, and they will approach them and sometimes climb on top of them.
Aww.
But they are wild animals and will bite if they are frightened or annoyed.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Because they have become so familiar with humans, they have become dependent on them, which is why they will venture into town on occasion. Also, they have learned how to pickpocket.
Yeah, hell yeah.
They have figured out how to, like, open purses and satchels and, like, reach into people's pockets to get food. I love it. They're so good.
That was also great because Leroy ran by them. What did Leroy say when he ran by them? He was like, what
the... Oh, yeah, I think he said, like, hi, monkey, or something like that.
Yeah.
It's good. From 1914 to 1991, the military took care of the population.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you? They are overall endangered, but the population on Gibraltar is thriving with 230 individuals. I love this animal. This is the best wildlife we've had in a while, I think.
It is a good animal.
Yeah. It's always good when we get a monkey, I think, in the wildlife shots.
Yeah. Agreed. I also enjoy the monkeys.
Me too, they're one of my favorite bands.
Hey,
were the monkeys. That's what the monkey said to Leroy.
Yeah.
As Leroy was passing, he's like, hi, monkey. It's like, hey, we're
too busy stealing to let it get us down.
Okay, so Thomas, for whatever reason, the Challenge Vendettas and the Challenge Champs vs. Stars are overlapping, so...
Yeah, what happened on Champs vs. Stars?
Okay, so they had, like, a pool obstacle course challenge. So there are 12 people left. 6 of them are going to the final. This is the last challenge before the final, so the top man and top woman from each team are automatically in. John and Emily win for the champs team. Josh and Michelle win for the stars team. And then they each get to pick the third person for their team to come with them on the final. And then the episode ends before we find out who they picked. Because why not draw this half season out for even longer?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta.
Okay, Thomas. That's what happened on Champs vs. Stars. John made it to the final, finally. First final since he stole all that money from Sarah. Good for him, I suppose.
Just thrilled to have him back.
Isn't he great? It's so fun how we never have to not see him.
Love that boy.
Okay. So, season 31 of The Challenge is this current season. It just started, but rumors for season 32 have started coming out.
Okay.
The first season, correct me if I'm wrong, but the first season of this show you watched any of was Rivals, right?
I believe so.
Okay. So I've always considered Rivals to be a sort of companion theme season to Battle of the Exes, right? You know?
Sure,
Did you see any of the Exes seasons?
I think I did.
I think the first one was immediately after Rivals, and then they did, I think, like, Battle of the Seasons or something after that, and then they did Rivals 2, and then something else, and then Exes 2. Anyway, there have been 3 seasons of Rivals now, but there have only been 2 seasons of Exes. They've done a couple seasons since the last Rivals without doing an Exes companion season. So, nothing is official yet, but I'm thinking that next season will be Battle of the Exes 3, based on who they have apparently called to see if they're available for the season. Nothing is official yet, but I will say that our hashtag campaigns have not all been for naught.
Well, that's good.
Okay. So, you know, we usually try to get people from The Challenge to get on Survivor. But occasionally we'll...
Oh my god, they didn't actually get Michaela on The Challenge, did they?
They did not get Michaela. I mean, they didn't get the people yet at all. They've just been contacted, supposedly. But the people they did contact are from her season.
Did they contact Tails and, not Tails?
Yeah, they contacted, apparently, they contacted Fig Tails. Figgy and Tails.
They contacted Fig Tails, wow.
Fig Tails, yeah. Yeah. So maybe, they'll be on the next season of The Challenge.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, I'm really excited now.
That's awesome.
I don't know if Tails is going to have the same appeal without Jay there, though. Right? Was it Jay?
Yeah. I agree. Initial thought was that Jay was going to be Jay.
Oh, that would have been so good. You know, people always talk about they should do a Rivals-type season, but have all the teams be friends. If we can get Jay and Tails on there, that would be good. That would be fun.
Yeah,
I don't know why I watched this the other day. I was just, like, really excited about this prospect, so I started rereading about Millennials versus Gen X, and then I watched a YouTube video called Millennials versus Gen X in 25 minutes, and it did the whole season, like all the major points of the season in 25 minutes. It was thrilling. And I like Jay a lot. I don't like that he voted out Michaela, but he and Adam had a really good arc.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah, well, he'll probably be back. Fig Tails might be on The Challenge next season. And eventually maybe Michaela will be too. Oh, man, that would be fun. Okay. Next week, you want to simulate a season?
Yeah, let's do it.
Beauty versus Brains versus Brawn!
Versus Brawn!
Alright, cool. Usually this is when I would say use the hashtag Cena on Survivor to get John Cena on Survivor, but I think given recent news, we should use a new hashtag until the official Challenge 32 cast is announced.
So Figtails on the Challenge?
Figtails on the Challenge is the new hashtag for the time being. We'll come back to Cena after we find out if they're officially on the season or not. But I think if we campaign to MTV, to TJ, to Figgy, to Tails is not on Twitter, so we can't berate him about it. But Figgy is, TJ Lavin is, MTV is. Did you know MTV is on Twitter?
Man, what a world.
Tweet at the production company, Buna Murray, that we want to see Figtails on the Challenge. I'll be doing that from our show's Twitter, which is DYWSLN. You can follow that there. Mine, personal, yep, Jake Shadell is my name in real life and on Twitter. Thomas, this is the part where you say your Twitter.
Oh, yeah, Tom, not Tom.
You can like us on Facebook or email us, didyouwatchlastnight@gmail.com. Hey, if you're Figtails, email us if you're going to be on the challenge or not, because we want to see it happen. But if you are Figtails, remember to sign it, your pal Jeff Probst. And review us on iTunes. Apple Tunes? What's it called?
With your help, we will get on the challenge.
That's not the hashtag. It's Figtails. Figtails on the challenge is the hashtag.
What if there was someone whose last name was and then they were in a couple with someone named on one of these shows, and so I could use their couple name as
that would be stupid. That would be a really stupid thing.
I hope it happens.
I hope it doesn't. Okay, well, I think that's it. You got your stupid joke in, so that means we can end the episode. Have a great summer.
Deuces.
Everything should be
tear it all down to build a bear up again. Yeah, it's a real bummer.
Yeah. Hey, how about this one? Build a bear up again.
It's good.
I especially like
that I'd never heard it before.
It's like a very good joke.
My favorite part of that joke was that it was entirely new to me.
Yeah, it's a very original bit, and everybody loves it. The results are in. Everyone loves that joke.
Everybody's talking about that joke.
You see, the thing is, it's just such a good joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, where does that even come from? Alright, are you recording now?
I've been recording.
Oh, good. Did you get my Build-A-Bear joke in there?
I mean, I got me reacting to it.
Okay, well, that's good. Can you put me on speaker and I'll say Build-A-Bear again?
that you keep saying that this is a joke. But my passion for isn't real.
It's not. It's not real.
It's real to me, damn it.
I think your passion is more to make editing this podcast harder for me. I think that's what your goal is.
What makes you say that?